Hey, I'm Nancy Cavey, National ERISA and Individual Disability Attorney. Welcome to Winning Isn't Easy. Before we get started, I've got to give you a legal disclaimer. This podcast is not legal advice. The Florida Bar Association says I have to say this. Now I've said it, but nothing will ever prevent me from giving you an easy to understand overview of the disability insurance world, the games that carriers play, and what you need to know to get the disability benefits you deserve. Today, I'm going to talk about the carrier's right to offsets, their right to offset VA benefits, Social Security retirement benefits, and rollover distributions of IRAs. So why am I going to talk about this? Because these are the kinds of common questions I get all the time from people who are on disability benefits questioning why there is an offset or a reduction and what, if anything, they can do about it. So we're going to start off by answering the question, can a disability carrier reduce long-term disability benefits by VA benefits that the policyholder was getting before the disability insurance claim was filed? I'm going to talk about how the court approved a disability carrier's reduction of a quadriplegic's benefits by a rollover distribution of an IRA. I'm going to talk about how a carrier like Aetna might be able to deduct Social Security retirement benefits from your ERISA long-term disability benefits. And lastly, I'm going to talk about a federal judge who called out a disabled policyholder who refused to give the disability insurance plan information to calculate the offset of settlement monies. Got it? Well, let's take a quick break before we get into this episode.
Have you been robbed of your peace of mind from your disability insurance carrier? You owe it to yourself to get a copy of Robbed of Your Peace of Mind, which provides you with everything you need to know about the long-term disability claim process. Request your free copy of the book at kvlaw.com today.
Welcome back to Winning Isn't Easy. Let's talk about whether or not a disability carrier can reduce long-term disability benefits by VA benefits a policyholder was getting before the disability insurance claim was filed. Unfortunately, there's no easy answer to this question, and the answer will depend on the language of the disability plan or policy. So if you're in this situation, I want you to get out your disability policy or plan and look for what's called the definition of other income. In the case of Anderson versus Hartford Life, the plan said that Hartford could deduct other income benefits from the long-term disability benefits, and it specifically included VA benefits. Now, ultimately, the court said that Hartford was allowed to deduct those VA benefits Anderson was getting before he became disabled, but only to the amount of any increase in the benefit attributable to the disability that was the basis of the disability insurance claim. So how did this work? Well, let's do a little math. As Anderson's VA benefits increased over time from $1,888.46 per month to $3,329.03 per month, Hartford paid less in long-term disability benefits. Now, Anderson argued that this increase in benefits was due to his depression and not to his prior back injury. And Hartford said, look, the depression that he's suffering from relates to his combined back condition and the depression. And that depression is related to the back condition, and it's all offsettable. It's a little bit like the, you know, the elbows connected to the shoulder type thing. And so what the disability carrier did was say, look, we think that everything that happened to you after this accident or this injury is causally related to the disability that we're paying benefits for. So if you develop depression after, we want to make sure that we get our fair share, if you will, of the increase in your VA benefits. Now, what did the court do? Well, the court said, look, the broad terms of the policy allowed for the offset for the increased benefits, and the disability carrier had the discretion or the ability to determine what part of any increase was attributable to the disability. The court said, look, our hands are tied based on that arbitrary and capricious standard of review, and we can't substitute the judgment of the disability carrier or their interpretation of this clause. So you, unfortunately, Mr. Anderson, are on the wrong side of this financial stick. As a result, you can see that policy and plan language can matter. It can take away your valuable ERISA disability benefits. So if you have any questions about the VA offset, we need to start with the policy and the plan language and then go to the facts of your specific case. Got it? All right. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about how a court approved a disability carrier's reduction of a quadriplegic's benefits by a rollover distribution of an IRA. Let's take a quick break before we head into this next section. Welcome back to Winning Isn't Easy. Let's talk about how a court approved a disability carrier's reduction of a quadriplegic's benefits by a rollover distribution of an IRA. Disability policies and plans pay benefits on the one hand, but they take away benefits with the other hand. They're in the business of making a profit regardless of how compelling the circumstances might be. So how do they do that? Well, what we need to start out with is the other income and offset provisions in your disability policy or plan, because that's the starting point of the answer of this question. There is no uniform disability policy or plan in the United States. So this answer is going to be unique to you based on the provisions in your specific policy or plan. As a way of an example, I'm going to tell you the story of Ms. Diebold that's found in the case of Diebold versus Liberty Life. Diebold had become a quadriplegic in December of 2001 because of a rollover motor vehicle accident. Now, she was employed at Wachovia, and she participated in their disability plan. That plan was administered by Liberty, who paid her her long-term disability benefits. In October of 2018, her benefits were decreased by about $800 a month when she rolled over a lump sum of $106,000 from her employer pension to her individual retirement account. Liberty said, hey, look, under the terms of this disability policy, we can decrease her benefits by a rollover. And Diebold said, oh, no, not so fast. Now, the plan language makes a difference. And in this case, the Wachovia plan provided that the amount of disability benefits shall be the lesser of 60% of the participant's pre-disability earnings less benefits from other income. Well, what's the key definition here? Benefits from other income includes the amount of any disability benefits or retirement receipts that the participant voluntarily elects to receive as a retirement payment under the employer's retirement plan. Now, the plan clearly provided for an offset, but Diebold said, look, I didn't directly receive any of this money. There was no taxable income. It was just a rollover to the IRA, and that was not listed as income in the definition of benefits or other income as defined by the policy. Well, what did the judge do? The judge disagreed with Diebold's argument. They found that the plan provided for an offset. The judge rejected her arguments that the offset was invalid or unenforceable because it had resulted in a change in her benefits, even though there was no tax consequence to her when she rolled over the IRA. Diebold also argued that since ERISA has no applicability to her IRA, the fact that she deposited a lump sum retirement payment into it couldn't trigger the reduction of her disability benefits. Well, the answer to that was, oh, yes, they can. I don't know why there wasn't anyone who reviewed with Diebold the plan or why she did the rollover. And if you're facing that circumstances, you really need to consult with an experienced ERISA disability attorney to review the policy, plan, or provisions and give you some advice. Because we know the consequences here. It doesn't matter how tragic the situation is. If the policy or the plan terms give the disability carrier the right to offset money, they're going to do it. And in this case, the rollover was considered an offset. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about whether carriers like Aetna can deduct Social Security retirement benefits from your ERISA long-term disability benefits. So let's take another quick break.
Are you a professional with questions about your individual disability policy? you need the Disability Insurance Claim Survival Guide for Professionals. This book gives you a comprehensive understanding of your disability policy with tips and to-dos regarding your disability application that will assist you in submitting a winning disability application. This is one you won't want to miss. For the next 24 hours, we are giving away free copies of the Disability Insurance Claim Survival Guide for Professionals. Order yours today at disabilityclaimsforprofessionals.com.
Welcome back to Winning Isn't Easy. Can an Aetna, like any other disability carrier, deduct Social Security retirement benefits from your ERISA long-term disability benefits? Now, many disability insurance policies or plans allow for the deduction of Social Security retirement benefits from long-term disability benefits the policyholder is entitled to receive. But as always, the devil is in the details. You need to get a copy of your policy or plan to determine whether Social Security retirement offsets are allowed. There isn't any uniform disability policy or plan, so each is different. And of course, the answer is going to be different based on your unique situation. But let me give you an example. In the case of Smith versus Aetna, the policy provided that monthly benefits payable under the policy were to be the lesser of the scheduled monthly LTD benefits and the maximum monthly benefits minus all other income, but not less than the minimum monthly benefit. Now, that's as clear as mud and clearly probably written by a lawyer. The policy defined other income to include disability, retirement, or unemployment benefits required or provided for under any law of a government, including benefits under the Social Security Act. So this was the provision that they relied on in deducting from Smith's long-term disability benefits any Social Security retirement he received. Now, Smith said, whoa, there's an exception to the rule, and that is that the Social Security retirement benefits that the insured received before the date they became disabled under the plan shouldn't reduce their monthly benefits. In other words, if Smith began receiving his retirement benefits before he became disabled under the plan, Aetna couldn't deduct the benefits. On the other hand, if Smith began receiving the Social Security retirement benefits after the date he became disabled under the plan, then he said, look, Aetna, you've got the right to deduct those Social Security benefits from my disability benefits. So the question becomes, well, first off, did Smith get his Social Security retirement benefits before or after he became disabled? He argued that he should be deemed to be disabled in February of 2016 because that was the day he became eligible to get his monthly long-term disability benefits. Now, the court said, well, wait a second. Isn't the issue the date you became disabled and not the date you became eligible to receive the long-term disability benefits? Because in this case, they weren't the same dates. Smith had begun collecting his short-term disability benefits in August of 2015, and he was eligible to collect his long-term disability benefits some 26 weeks later, or February of 2016. He began receiving his Social Security retirement in December of 2015. Under the terms of the policy, the period of disability begins on the first day you're disabled as a direct result of any significant change in your physical or mental condition while you're insured under the plan. So in Smith's case, the date of disability was August of 2015. That was the date he stopped working and the date he began receiving short-term disability benefits. He didn't become eligible for LTD benefits until he had satisfied the 26-week elimination period. So the plain language of this plan provided that the date the person became disabled was before the date Smith was eligible to receive his long-term disability benefits. And he was disabled under the terms of the policy in August of 2015, and his eligibility for the LTD benefits didn't negate the fact that he collected those Social Security retirement benefits in December of 2015. So the court, in applying the plain language of this, in my view, very confusing offset provision, said, hey, Aetna's entitled to deduct the Social Security retirement benefits from his long-term disability benefits. Got it? Sort of clear as mud, isn't it? The key, as always, is the language in the policy or the plan and applying it to your unique factual circumstances. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about how a federal judge called out a policyholder who refused to give the disability insurance plan information to calculate the offset for settlement monies. If I'm not going to give you the information, you can't take the offset argument. Got it? Let's take a quick break before we head into this section. Welcome back to Winning Isn't Easy. A federal judge calls out a policyholder who refuses to give the disability insurance plan information to calculate offset of settlement monies. Now, long-term disability carriers have and plans have provisions in both policies and plans that allow for the reduction of long-term disability benefits by the receipt of other income benefits. A lot of my clients are very upset about this provision and want to hide the ball. I have to tell them you can't hide the ball, and this is why. In the case of Hadid versus SMG long-term disability plan, the court first asked this question: does the plan have the right to an offset? Now, there's no uniform disability policy or plan in the United States, so you've got to, once again, look at your unique policy or plan, because that's the starting point. So in this case, Hadid was the beneficiary of a Hilton disability plan that provided for an offset or reduction for the payment of what's called other income benefits. Now, what was the definition of other income? It was the amount of any benefit for the loss of income provided to you or your family as a result of a period of disability for which you are claiming benefits under the policy. And this includes benefits for which you or your family are eligible or that you are paid to you or your family or a third party on your behalf. This definition also went on to say that other income includes any portion of a settlement or judgment minus associated costs of a lawsuit that represents you or compensates you for loss of earnings. Now, I would say that that's pretty clear. The plan did have the right to an offset. So the judge then asked the next question: what's the policyholder's obligation to provide information to the carrier to calculate that offset? And once again, the policy of the plan language can provide that information or that answer. This particular policy and plan provided that if the beneficiary was paid other income benefits in the form of a lump sum settlement, the plan beneficiary had to provide proof satisfactory to the carrier of, one, the amount attributable to the loss of income, and two, the period covered by the lump sum or settlement. Now, the plan was allowed to prorate the lump sum or the settlement over a certain period of time. Seems to me pretty simple. The plan beneficiary was responsible to provide the proof of the amount of the settlement that was attributable to their loss of income and the period of time covered by that loss. But Hadid wanted to hide the ball because he was thinking, if I don't give them that information, they can't take the offset. Well, boy, was he wrong. The plan provided that we're going to assume that the entire sum for that is paid out is for the loss of income, and the time is for 60 months, unless you give us any information otherwise. We can make a retroactive allocation of any other income benefit. And as a result, this retroactive allocation can result in an overpayment. In other words, you can't hide the ball. And if you try to hide the ball, we're going to assume that the entire sum that you got was for loss of income, not just loss of consortium or pain and suffering or past medical bills. We're going to consider it all to be for the total, for the loss of income. And we get to reduce, under the terms of the offset provision, any money you receive for the loss of income. And we're going to take this allocation and we're going to spread it over 60 months and we're going to reduce your benefits over 60 months. And guess what? That's going to result in an overpayment, and you're going to owe it back. So ultimately, when Hadid hid the ball and was unhappy that the carrier was offsetting his benefits, he filed a lawsuit in federal court. So what did the judge do? Well, I will tell you, hiding the ball did not impress the federal judge. Disability carriers and plans are not stupid, and they're not lazy. They may be dishonest, but you can be assured that they're going to do a public record search and claim index searches. If you've settled a personal injury lawsuit, a workers' comp case, they will find out. Hartford, the plan administrator, found out that Hadid had filed a lawsuit against Hilton and claimed lost income damages that covered the same period he was claiming long-term disability benefits. Now, the public records indicated there was a settlement, so Hartford asked, as they were entitled to, for a copy of the settlement documents and told Hadid that they were going to take some or all of the settlement monies as an offset for lost income. So what did the settlement agreement say about the allocation of the settlement between lost income, pain and suffering, loss of consortium, etc.? Nothing. So Hartford said, look, Hadid, give me your position. Prove to me how much of this settlement was covered for lost income. And he refused. And that was a huge mistake. He had an opportunity, not only at the time he settled his case, to do an allocation, which he should have done, and his lawyer should have consulted with an experienced ERISA disability attorney such as myself to help interpret the plan and help them with the allocation. But Hadid refused to do that and took the position that Hartford wasn't entitled to the offset. Really? The plan language was clear. What Hadid should have done was to provide Hartford with that information and try to clarify what was related to lost income, what was related to everything else, and what period of time was applicable for the period of time for this lost income. So because Hadid didn't do anything, Hartford offset the entire amount of the settlement. The judge was not impressed, to say the least, and the judge made it really clear that the plan provided for an offset and that Hadid and not Hartford had the burden of proving how much the settlement was attributable to lost income and for what period of time. The judge said, look, you didn't do it, so Hartford has the legal right to allocate the entire settlement amount as being attributable to your lost income and do it over 60 months. Now, the judge noted that Hadid had submitted an expert report in his underlying personal injury litigation of a wage loss in his case against the Hilton that estimated lost wages of $1.2 to $1.3 million. And the judge, again, was not happy that Hadid had stonewalled Hartford and not given them that information. So they were allowed to take this settlement, attribute all of it to lost wages, and prorate it over 60 months and reduce his benefits and say, hey, by the way, not only are we reducing your benefits, but we overpaid you, so pay us back. What are the lessons learned? Well, the first lesson here is that you should provide your personal injury or workers' compensation attorney with a copy of the policy and plan to learn, first, is there a right to an offset? Two, is the entire settlement offsettable or is the offset limited to just lost wages? What are the responsibilities that you have to provide the disability carrier or the plan with an allocation of the amount of those lost wages in the period of lost wages the settlement covers? The second lesson is to make sure that in every settlement, there's an appropriate allocation and a proof as to how that allocation was calculated and explains, of course, any inconsistencies between the ultimate allocation and the settlement demands. You need to have a consultation with an experienced ERISA disability attorney as your personal injury case is being resolved so that everybody understands what the offset provisions are and how to potentially allocate money in a way to reduce the carrier's offset. It's pretty hard to minimize the impact of a case when you haven't done those things, when you haven't learned those two lessons. Now, I will tell you the real problem is going to have your attorney be interested in this issue and working with you to minimize the impact. If your attorney isn't cooperating or isn't interested, it's time for you to contact an experienced ERISA disability attorney, such as myself, who can step in on your behalf and say, wait a second, you're not protecting your client's interests, certainly as it relates to this ERISA offset issue. And let me help you understand the terms of the policy and your responsibilities so that we can arrive at a settlement language and allocation that will minimize the impact of this offset on your client's long-term disability benefits. Well, we've covered a lot to this episode about offsets, all sorts of different offsets, IRA rollovers, pension benefits, settlements. This is a minefield, so don't fall into a trap. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Winning Isn't Easy. If you've enjoyed this episode, as I'm sure you have, consider liking this page, leaving a review, or sharing it with your friends and family. Please subscribe to the podcast. That way you're going to be notified of the next episode. I hope you tune in for another week of an insightful episode of Winning Isn't Easy. Thanks.